speak to us, reshape us, make us pliable, conform us to your image. To that end, we commit this time in our lives. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. So, guess what I have here? Somewhere. There we go. Can you tell me what that is? Can you figure out what that is? It's a debit card. Yeah, for who? For me? Yeah. Can you figure that out?
It's a business check
card. It is a business check card. If this is? Baron recognizes it. What is it? This is the church's debit card. Oh, thanks, Wyatt. Yeah. Oh, this is the church's debit card. And I went on a shopping spree. I bought 2 dozen donuts. And I bought 2 packages of balloons. And I bought 2 really cool pens. Now, here's the thing. This dozen donuts, after the sermon, is going to go out on that table for everyone, for our greeting welcome ministry, right? Because that's what we do every Sunday, right? We got donuts out there. Yeah. And this dozen donuts, my aunt and uncle are leaving to move to Georgia. And I'm going to take this to them after church. Right? Yeah, I'm just going to take it to them. See. Now this dozen donuts is for what? Out there. Mm. That was really good. Mm-hmm. Now, that feels okay, doesn't it? Because what are these donuts for? They're for us. They're for people to eat on Sunday morning. It's kind of like communion, you know? It's kind of like communion. Everyone goes, oh, what do we do with the communion elements afterward? You eat them. Who eats them? Anybody. Anybody? Yeah, because any Christian can eat communion. That's the whole point. Now, remember what did it? I went on a shopping spree with what? With the church's debit card. Now, these donuts are going where? To my aunt and uncle. What am I doing? I'm eating a donut. What's that?
They'll understand.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how does it feel when I eat this donut?
It feels different.
How?
Because they're not really yours.
It's in my hand. I bought it. I have power over the donut. Yeah, but why does it feel different when I'm eating this one? Wow, it's the same donut, man. Heck, I can. There's a blueberry one over here, too. They're exactly. Look, are these donuts the same?
Yeah.
Were they the same when I brought them here?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay, so why does it feel different when I'm eating a donut from here as opposed to a donut from there? Because they're the same donuts. Donuts are donuts are donuts, right?
I think you're good.
Thank you. Right? These were set aside for who?
For family.
For my family. By?
By
me.
Yeah, you're supposed
to be preaching, not eating. Don't get a half dozen. About two packages of balloons, too. It's really, really cool. Now, this package of balloons... Timmy, that's for the children's ministry, right? I bought it with the church credit card, actually debit card. This package of balloons, however, I'm going to use for my anthropology class tomorrow. Why are you shaking your head, man? Okay, let's sweat. Come on, Timmy. Okay, here. Here, you take those. He doesn't like that I... No, no, give me those other ones back. We'll trade. I'll take these ones to the anthropology class. Feel better?
No.
Why?
You're using money that's not yours for your anthropology class.
I have authority over this. I can use the money. I got the card.
You're a steward.
Yeah, I'm a steward, but, you know, I can use it. I got two pens here. I looked for really nice pens. These are really cool pens. Yeah, Brad. Okay, here you go. That's for doing the email, the email signups. Okay, that goes with that pad there. We were wondering about that. Yes, I bought them with a church card. Totally. This one's going in my pocket because this one I'm going to use at home. So, how are we feeling? What? I am out of control. It's guys' day. What's that? I didn't confess that as a sin. I just informed. Most of the time, that's what we do, right? We inform people of our sins rather than confess them. Yeah. You work for the church, too. You want the credit card?
I would probably buy donuts.
Yeah, you'd probably buy them for the top of the hill, but you probably wouldn't buy them for my Aunt David and Uncle Lynn.
No.
I mean, Aunt Lynn and Uncle David.
No.
So, wait just a second. Something about this one just tastes better. What's that?
More off limits.
More off limits. Stolen bread is sweet, right? Now, here's the thing. The donuts are the same, but they're not the same. They're not the same because, like you've noted, they come from a particular kind of origin. And they are designated for a particular kind of purpose. Because of the origin. The origin sets the purpose for the donut. Now, when they were making these at the donut shop, they weren't making them for that purpose, but when I used the church's resources to purchase them, there's some sort of alignment that needed to happen between the end use of the donuts and the resource designated for them. Or utilized for them. In other words, the purchase of the donuts with the church's money sets them for the church's usage, and that they should somehow serve the benefit and purposes of the church rather than the benefit and purposes of my aunt and uncle. This is called teleology, by the way. You got a pen, you can write that down. It's very easy to write. T-E-L-E-O-L-O-G-Y. Teleology. Teleology is the point of fruition for a thing or its purpose. But there's a purpose for a thing. Now, when this was just a bunch of, I think they were bougainvillea thorns. Just a bunch of bougainvillea. You could just cut it down, throw it away. Turn it into this. Suddenly burning it would not be very cool because its purpose has been changed. In other words, that purpose has been superimposed upon its existence. Now, I'm not going to argue all the philosophical issues about teleology and its possibility for objects, but I believe that purpose is and can be inherent in objects. And that we don't understand the world without the idea of purpose and inherent ends for things. Because human beings are creatures of meaning. And if anything has meaning, things have teleology. So, because the card has a purpose, right? The card has a purpose. Why does the card have a purpose? Because it's set apart for the church. And why should that matter? What does this card access? Church resources. And why are those church resources to be used for the church?
Because that was the intent in which they were given.
Because that's why they were given. Do you see the integrity all the way down the line? People give in order to support the church. The church collects the money in order to sustain the church. The church then dispenses the money in order to sustain the church. If I use it to take donuts to my aunt and uncle, somehow that just breaks the chain. Got Bibles? Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Fairly familiar story. Okay, so the story, children of Israel, seven times, boop, 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 in silence, round the wall. And then shout, ah, down goes Jericho walls. And we pick up the story. Look at look at verse 15. Here we go. There we are. On the seventh day, beginning at the daybreak, they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day, not only did they march around the city seven times, the seventh time around, the priests blew the horns. Joshua said to the people, "Now shout, for the Lord has given you the city and everything in it. It is under the Lord's..." And the word there is cherem. Cherem. It's under the Lord's designation. What does your Bible read? Devoted. Devotion. What does your Bible read?
Front.
Devoted to the Lord. What does yours read, Devin?
Devoted.
Devoted. What does yours read?
Devoted.
Devoted. Devoted. Devoted. It's under the Lord's devotion. Okay. New American Bible reads ban. So think of it like sanction. What does sanction mean? Sanction can mean to endorse, and sanction can also mean to prohibit. That's like cherem. Cherem is, it's, this is to be burnt. This is for burning. This is set aside. It's sanctioned. Okay? It's devoted to destruction. Got it? Cherem. Like an offering. That's what ends up as an offering. That's the idea. It says, only the heart, verse 17, only the harlot Rahab and all who are in the house with her are to be spared, because she hid the messengers we sent. But be careful not to take in you in your greed anything that is under the cherem, or else you will bring upon the camp of Israel this ban and the misery of it. So in other words, you take the thing, this donut, you know, this donut is set aside, and when you take it and you put it inside you, now you're set aside, but it's set aside for destruction. What does that do to you? Oops. It's like, I was only shooting at the donut inside of him. Got it? Else you will bring upon the camp of Israel this ban and the misery of it. All the silver, all the gold, all the articles of bronze or iron are sacred, cherem, to the Lord. They shall be put in the treasury of the Lord. Now, put in the treasury of the Lord is very interesting there. That's more of a term from temple days rather than Joshua days, because Joshua days, they don't have a treasury. Okay, but they're going to put it in the treasury of the Lord. And how do they put it in the treasury of the Lord? They burn it. That's the idea, by the way, behind sacrifice. You take, okay, remember, these are cattle. These are people who make their money on cattle. If you take some sort of cattle, a sheep, a goat, something like that, and you take it and you slit its throat and you put it on the altar and you burn it up with fire, that's like saying, we're going to go buy a Jaguar, we're going to put it out in the parking lot, and then we're going to beat it to pieces with sledgehammers, brand new, never let it be driven. And we're sending it up to the Lord. And the idea there was you burn it, you send it up with the smoke, you send it up to the Lord. It's like, this is the Lord's. We have to decimate it in order to give it to the Lord. And that's what they do with Jericho. But let's look at chapter 7. But the Israelites violated the ban. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zerah, son of Zara. They always got them confused. Zerah and Zara. Sorry. Of the tribe of Judah took goods that were under the ban. And the anger of the Lord flared up against the Israelites. H-E-R-E-M. Actually, C-H-E-R-E-M, if you're going to transliterate it.
I was thinking of the word that Islam means forbidden.
Haram. Yeah. Yeah, it's a cognate. Yeah. Yeah. A harem. Yeah. Yeah. It's very, yeah. It's the idea of this is put apart, devoted. It's special. Yeah, cherem and harem. Okay? So they go fight a battle. They don't win the battle. And let's pick up verse 6 of chapter 7. Joshua, together with the elders of Israel, rent his garments. It's not like a tuxedo. And lay prostrate before the ark of the Lord until evening. And they threw dust on their heads. Alas, O Lord God, Joshua prayed, why did you ever allow this people to pass over the Jordan, delivering us into the power of the Amorites, that they might destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan. Pray, Lord, what can I say now that Israel has turned its back to its enemies? When the Canaanites and the other inhabitants of the land hear of it, they'll close in around us and wipe us off of the earth. What will you do for your great name? And the Lord replied to Joshua. Now remember, Joshua is like, oh, Lord, Lord, we lost the battle. It's so terrible. The Lord replied to Joshua, stand up. Why are you laying there? Israel has sinned. They've violated the covenant, which I enjoined on them. They've stealthily taken goods subject to the ban and have deceitfully put them in their baggage. If the Israelites cannot stand up to their enemies, but must turn their back to them, it's because they're under the ban. I will not remain with you unless you remove from among you whoever has incurred the ban. Rise, sanctify the people. Okay. So what happens is they start casting lots, tribe by tribe, family, clan by clan, family by family, and the lot falls to Achan. And let's pick up, it says, verse 20. Achan answered Joshua, I have indeed sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. Among the spoils, I saw a beautiful Babylonian mantle, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold, 50 shekels in weight. In my greed, I took them. They're now hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. The messengers whom Joshua sent hastened to the tent and found them hidden there with the silver underneath. They took them from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel took Achan, son of Zerah, with the silver, the mantle, the bar of gold, and with his sons, daughters, ox, his ass, his sheep, his tent, and all of his possessions, and led them off to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, the Lord bring upon you today the misery which you have brought upon us. And all Israel stoned him to death and piled a great heap of stones over him, which remains to the present day. Then the anger of the Lord relented. That's why the place is called Valley of Kor to this day, or Valley of Trouble. Is there anything wrong with silver or gold or a Babylonian mantle? No. Is there something wrong with a a Babylonian mantle, silver and gold, when it's designated for something else? Depends on what it's designated for and to who it's designated for. See, if you violate that chain of teleology, it's called embezzlement. So what the thing is for and what you use it for have to have this correspondence. Otherwise, it's embezzlement. If I'm the president of a corporation and I use the company checkbook and I buy myself a jet plane, right? And the company really doesn't need a jet, a private jet. What have I done? I've embezzled. I've violated my fiduciary trust. I'm supposed to look out for the best interests of the corporation, but I've looked out for my interests. We have been dealing... Oh, in fact, go over there. Matthew 15. This is kind of fun. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Jesus, arguing with the Pharisees, says, he said to them in reply, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever curses father or mother shall die.' But you say, 'Whoever says to father or mother, any support you might have had from me is dedicated to God,' or korban, need not honor his father. You've nullified the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you when he said, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines of men.'" See, they had learned to kind of work the angles on dedication. So you're supposed to take care of mom and dad, put them in, take care when they're weak, take care of their needs. Today that would mean like medical care, all that kind of stuff. You're supposed to take care of them. And they'd say, "Well, that's dedicated. It's dedicated toward the Lord. I've put that money aside for God, like a trust fund." But then they keep the resources in their hands. "Well, I'm using it now until the Lord needs it. I'm trying to make more money with it so that I'll give more to the Lord. So I'm trading with it right now, and I bought a house with it. It's the Lord's money in there, but I'm just using it. But I can't give it for, I can't spend it for my mom and dad. I have to make more of it." Yeah.
Isaiah's prophecy, if you hit the bullseye, these people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy.
Oh, dude, totally. Wow. Yeah, that's the message? Yeah. Yeah. You're like, "Well, I can just do with it what I want." And then I hide it from either using it for the Lord or from really using it for my parents. They turn into lawyers. And he's really angry with them about that. We've been looking at a series called The Core. Core. The very core, one of the core concepts when it comes to Christianity, following the Lord, is the idea of sanctity, sacredness, or holiness. Those all mean the same thing. Sanctity, sacredness, or holiness. That means dedicated. These donuts are for the purposes of the church. These are supposed to be for the purposes of the church. But I take them away and I use them for my family, I have violated their holiness. See, because they're supposed to go out there. And when I do this, I misappropriate them. The idea of holiness, both Old Testament, the term is kodesh, or as some places kadosh. They're interchangeable. They're both from the same root, kodesh. It's the idea of that is set apart for the Lord's use. We tend to think of holiness as meaning pure or clean. That is not what holiness means. There's a whole set of purity laws and impurity laws that have nothing to do with holiness. Holiness is when something is dedicated. And that term is used, okay, what does God tell Moses when he sees the burning bush? Take off your shoes because it's holy ground. The temple is holy temple. The utensils are holy utensils. We lift up holy hands. We speak holy prayers. We give holy service. Abodah. Okay? All of these things are holy because they are to God for God's purposes. It's holy. And God himself is holy. Because God is all about his own purposes. Everything God does is for his own glory. And we match that work when we act for his glory. Got it? That's the idea of sanctity. We are set apart to, not set apart from. It just so happens that when you're set apart to, you end up set apart from. Make sense? Cool. Now, turn over. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians 6. Start at verse 9. I'm sorry if this offends somebody, but deal with it. It's the Bible. Okay? Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor practicing homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is what some of you used to be, but now you have had yourselves washed. You were sanctified. You were holified, if you want to say. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And look at this next part. Verse 12, this is a quote that they quoted. Everything's lawful for me. Hey, it's just a donut. You realize there's nothing inherent. Remember, these donuts are really easy to eat. They're good to eat because they've been bought and presented. They will be presented in the right spirit. Nothing dirty or bad about these. They are not embezzled donuts. Those donuts are exactly the same as these donuts. Except these donuts, you eat them, you're harem, right? It's all things are lawful. It's not the donut. It has nothing to do with the donut. We keep thinking like holiness is involved in the thing itself. But it's the meaning of the thing superimposed. It's the purpose superimposed that says, hey man, there's nothing wrong with pot, except that your head is supposed to be centered on the Lord. It's not the THC. It's that you're taking your head somewhere it's not supposed to go. You're not allowed to go there. Corinthians said this about the body. It's just my body. My body's my body. There's nothing wrong with sex. You know, the spirit doesn't know the difference between 90 seconds of squishy noises with anything. All things are lawful for me. But I will not let myself be dominated by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. It's the proverb they had. Food for the stomach for food. Hey, food's for the stomach, you eat it. What's the body for? You got the parts, use them. If God made weed.
It's a natural herb.
Yeah, so's hemlock. Try that, you know. You don't do that, do you?
Not more than once.
Not more than once, yeah. Tried it once. Smoked it once. That's it.
You tried that.
Socrates tried that, yep. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both the one and the other. The body, however, is not for immorality, but for, hear this, for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take Christ's members and make them the members of a harlot? Of course not. Don't you know that anyone who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? Okay, what are our eyes for? For seeing. God gave us our eyes. They're to see things. There's some things we're not supposed to look at, though. Hey, sights for the eyes for sights. Yeah, not those kind of sights. Not those websites. You're not allowed to take your eyes and look at that. You're not allowed to take your sexuality and engage that and be aroused by that. Not allowed to take what God gave you and go take it over and eat it for yourself. Not allowed to use it for some other purpose. It says, for the two, it says, shall become one flesh. Verse 17, but whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit acts for God's purposes. He accomplishes God's purposes in the world. That's what he's all on about. That's what he does. He's not just like, oh, I'm the Spirit from God, therefore I'm holy. No, it's the Holy Spirit accomplishes God's actions in the world. Creation, right? The Spirit of God fluttering upon the face of the waters. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? You have been bought with a price. I have been bought with a price. And the kind of thing used to buy determines the nature of the thing bought. Now, if you don't want to live by holiness, don't get bought with a price. But once you're bought with a price, you're bought. And all of those resources, there has to be a line of integrity between the resource of Christ's blood that changes us and everything we do from there. It has to be in line with Jesus' blood. If it doesn't match Jesus' blood, it's forbidden. That's what it means to be a saint. Holy, sanctified saint. And we are the saints. It says, for you have been purchased at a price. You've been bought with a God credit card. I've been bought with a God credit card. You've been purchased with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The purposes of this is to serve those purposes. Our purposes now, lock, stock, and barrel, are to serve God's purposes. But that's not what we tend to do, because we tend to joyride. Hey, I got it in my pocket. I can use it. It's under my power. Yeah, but just because you are under your power doesn't mean that you have the right to use you in other ways. It might be, your will might be under your determination, but you don't have the right to use your will in certain ways. I mean, I've got the credit card, but I'm not allowed to use it because it draws on somebody else's account. And our breaths and heartbeats draw on the account of Jesus' lifeblood. Every heartbeat, every breath. And we're not allowed to use those heartbeats and breaths for things that they weren't purchased for. Because, and you know, when you do, you go, it just tastes wrong. It seems like it would be the right thing, but it just tastes wrong. It might taste in some prurient way like it's, ooh, it's nice because it's stolen. But something about it just tastes, it feels wrong. It tastes wrong. I shouldn't be spending my time here. I shouldn't be spending my thoughts here. I shouldn't be spending my money, my resources. I mean, granted, I just can't stop eating this donut, but there's something that makes me sick about it. That feeling is the indicator that you are on unholy ground. But it's an ordinary conversation. But there's something about it that's not glorifying Jesus. But my time's my own. I can play that game as long. It's just a game. Yeah? But there's something about it that's not glorifying Jesus. Well, hey, I don't listen to the words. Yeah, but there's something about it that's not glorifying Jesus. And you can taste it. It's just not right. Turn over to 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 13. What are we supposed to do about this? Verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. I think that's a really interesting image, don't you? Especially guys, right? Gird up the loins of your mind. Up here, do that. Live soberly. Set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance. But as he who has called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, for I'm holy. That's our mandate. Man, that seems so rigid. It's just so rigid, like I gotta live for someone else. I mean, it's pretty demanding. Oh, the burden of holiness. You're just laying something on me, trying to constrain my behaviors, keeping me from all the good stuff. Right? That's how we approach it. Not another message about holiness. Turn over to Matthew 6, or 7, please. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Verse 6. Don't give what's holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest you have a great time, right? Lest they trample them underfoot and tear you to pieces. It is not a burden for us to live holy lives, doing whatsoever we do in word or deed, doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's not a burden. It's a deliverance. Because guaranteed, you take yourself, which is designed to be holy, your mind, your heart, your devotion, your strengths, your energies, and you give them to carnal things, things outside of the Lord. You give them to porn. You give them to greed. You give them to all those things listed in 1 Corinthians earlier. To slander. Oh, it's very tasty, but it's something sour about it. You give yourself to intrigue. You give yourself to pride. Though it tastes interesting at the moment, those that you engage in that with will trample you under their feet and turn around and tear your guts out and not give a rat's hindermost parts. And you'll take this beautiful thing that's supposed to be given to the Lord and give it to the rat, and the rat doesn't care. You think the bands care about who's loyal to them? They're up at night concerned. I hope our fans are doing well. You think Walmart cares whether or not its shoppers are like, truly, I hope they're doing okay with that product because I hope it worked out for them. They spend a lot of money on that. You think they care? You think the corporations, the hedge funds care about their managers? Really? You think your mortgage company cares about you or your HMO? The only reason they care about your health is that they don't want you to cost them money. And they will trample you under their feet and turn again and tear you up. That's how your drug dealer feels about you. That's what the dispensary feels about you. That's what the liquor store feels about you. That's what the porn site feels about you. It will trample you under its feet. All of your loyalty, all of your time, eat it up. That's what the lotto will do. It was Friday night. I have to stop by the 7-Eleven last night by my house to get some bread. And there were three or four people in the cars doing the scratchers. There are two guys on the wall begging for money. One of them is over there doing a scratcher. Totally hooked. The guy inside says, yeah, that one guy, 17 years, all he's been doing is begging for money so he can gamble. You think they care? Trample you under their feet and turn around and tear your guts out and spit you out and don't give any care. Living a holy life is escape from all the hooks and deceptions of the world. It does want to hook you. It might not be as rigid as you think. It might be the Lord saving you and me again and again and again. So what to do with this practically? Rule number one, ask permission if in doubt. You know, you can ask the Lord if it's okay. And He will put that taste right way or not. Second, never rationalize your behavior. And you know when you're rationalizing your behavior, because it starts with, I want it, and then it works backward to a reason. Do I hear a big amen? So examine, what was my first thought? Was my first thought to glorify God, or was my first thought, I want it, and then I built my reasons backward? So did I start at to glorify God, or did I reason back to how it's going to glorify God? So ask permission if in doubt, never rationalize. Third thing, dedicate everything intentionally. Although there's some parts that I would disagree with, there are some parts that are really beautiful. This quote by a guy years ago, he was going to a discipleship that I taught, and a fellow named Spencer Burke, I don't know if you know Spencer Burke, but he said, you know the way I figure it? The process of sanctification is reducing the time between my sin and my repentance. The process of sanctification is reducing the time between my sin and my repentance. He says, and I think holiness somehow is when they're at the same time. Shall I say that again? He says, the process of sanctification is reducing the time between my sin and my repentance. And he said, somehow I think that holiness is when they're at the same time. Now, there are parts of that that I would disagree with, but I think he's on to something. If you can intentionally dedicate whatever it is you are doing and say, this is for you, Lord, this is for you, Lord, this is for you, Lord. And he says you can do that with anything in your life, taking out the trash, going to work, doesn't matter. Because, you know, it can be a donut or a pen or a balloon. But if you can dedicate that intentionally, then you will live a life of holiness. Whatever you do, if you say, I can dedicate this to the Lord, then you're in the clear. And you will live a life of worship and holiness. We're called to be holy. We're bought to be holy. We were made to be holy. Have some donuts. Have some donuts. Yep, in just a moment. Okay, have some donuts. You know why? They're holy. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, make us holy, we pray, day to day, in our hearts, our minds, our wills. Unto you, Lord, unto you, in your name. Amen.